A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because you are haughty of heart, you say, I am a god. I occupy a godly throne in the heart of the sea, and yet you are a man and not a god. However, you may think yourself like a god. Oh yes, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that is beyond you. By your wisdom and your intelligence, you have made riches for yourself. You have put gold and silver into your treasuries. By your great wisdom applied to your trading, you have heaped up your riches. Your heart has grown haughty from your riches. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have thought yourself to have the mind of a god, therefore I will bring against you foreigners, the most barbarous of nations. They shall draw their swords against your beauteous wisdom. They shall run them through your splendid apparel. They shall thrust you down to the pit, there to die, a bloodied corpse in the heart of the sea. Will you then say, I am a god, when you face your murderers? No, you are a man, not a god. Hand it over to those who will slay you. You shall die the death of the uncircumcised at the hands of the foreigners. For I have spoken, says the Lord God, the word of the Lord. It is I who deal death and give life. It is I who deal death and give life. I would have said, I will make an end of them and blot out their name from men's memories, had I not feared the insolence of their enemies, feared that these foes would mistakenly boast. It is I who deal death. Our own hand won the victory. The Lord had nothing to do with it, for they are a people devoid of reason, having no understanding. It is I who deal death. How could one man rout 1,000, or two men put 10,000 to flight, unless it was because their rock sold them and the Lord delivered them up? It is I who deal death and give life. Close at hand is a day of their disaster, and their doom is rushing upon them. Surely the Lord shall do justice for his people. On his servants he shall have pity. It is I who deal death and give life.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, Amen, I say to you, it will be hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, Who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, For men, this is impossible, but for God, all things are possible. Then Peter said to him in reply, We have given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us? Jesus said to them, Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the new age, when the Son of Man is seated on his throne of glory, will yourselves sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for the sake of my name will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Verbum Domini. There was a surprise film in Spain that took so many of their Goya Awards, their Oscars, best film, best director, best original screenplay. And it was a surprise that it was such a hit that 650,000 Spaniards went to see it, because it was a film about a young 17-year-old woman who decided that she wanted to enter a cloister, to enter a cloister in religious life. The title of the film, Los Domingos, Sundays. And in the article that was in the Register last month talking about it, said it isn't a pious film, and yet it isn't anti-Catholic. And yet people were drawn to this story. But I like the conclusion that Santiago Schnell had, and he saw this film. I haven't seen it myself. I don't know if I should recommend it or not. But I like the concluding statement of how so many people were affected and wanted to see this film in Spain. And here's what he wrote. The success of Sundays, Los Domingos, does not mean that secular Spanish audiences have embraced Catholic doctrine. But it may mean that they are no longer satisfied with a culture that explains faith away only as a result of trauma or manipulation. The film asks them to sit uncomfortably with a different possibility. What looks like renunciation may be love. What looks like enclosure may be an opening. What looks like obedience may be the beginning of freedom. It may be love that is motivating this young woman. In fact, the commentator here, Santiago, said that he was actually moved to tears when he saw her enter that monastery. There's something about that choice for the Lord. And you know, today, especially in this year of St. Francis, wanted to talk about yesterday's gospel and today's gospel, because, and I want to talk about three different Franciscan personalities, two of them you're quite familiar with, I believe, St. Francis and St. Clare, but the other you probably don't know a lot. Many of you wouldn't know a lot about her. She was a princess who was a contemporary of Francis and Clare, St. Agnes of Prague or St. Agnes of Bohemia. So Francis, he's going to follow the Lord, and there's this rich man in Assisi, Bernard of Quintavalle, who wants to join him. And so he gives away all of his things. And then he says to Francis, well, what are we supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? How are we supposed to live this out? And Francis says, well, this is not a question for me to answer, but for God to answer. And so they go to the church of St. Nicholas, San Nicolo. And there in the church was the missal that had the prayers for the Mass. But also in those days you had both the prayers the priest said, but also the scripture readings. And so he opens it, he says, in honor of the Trinity, to whom he has great devotion, he opens it three times. And what was the first passage that he opens to? The passage that we had yesterday, where Jesus said to this young man, he says, if you would be perfect, go sell what you have, give it to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. And the second, take nothing for the journey. And the third, if you'd be my follower, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. If you would be perfect, the first passage, go sell what you have, give it to the poor, come follow me. So to do what that young man in yesterday's gospel couldn't do, that he would be that one who would say yes to the Lord. He wouldn't go away sad, but rather Francis would be known for his joy. And this would so affect as well this young noblewoman who was of the nobility. Francis was of the merchant class. He was somewhat well-to-do. His father was doing well in the merchant class. Claire was of the nobility of the house of Offreduccio in Assisi. And she too is moved to this gift of herself, totally, total gift of herself. She was taken by Jesus, that we heard in the Alleluia verse from 2 Corinthians, where Jesus Christ became poor although he was rich, so that by his poverty you might become rich, rich in the true riches, the riches of eternal life, and the riches of the fullness of life, the abundant life that we have in Christ today. And so Francis and Claire, they understood that these things, they were well-to-do, but they could stand in the way. So the Lord wasn't calling them to a life of just destitution without anything, but rather he was calling them to the fullness of life and the fullness of love in him, to remove anything that might be a hindrance to that life and that love with him. Well, there's a remarkable story of this young woman who was a princess, and her bloodline, she had royal blood in her veins, and the nobility and the royalty of Central Europe at that time. Her father was a king, the king of Bohemia, a modern-day Czech Republic or Czechia. And her mother was a queen of Hungary. And so there were arranged marriages for political purposes, even at the age of three. She was already given in marriage to someone. But all of that would fall through God's providence. And then when the Holy Roman Emperor wanted her hand in marriage, Frederick II, how could she refuse the Holy Roman Emperor? She appealed to the Pope, Pope Gregory IX, that she wanted to give her life to the Lord. And so Frederick II acquiesced because she was going to give herself to the King of Heaven. And in fact, she did. She, as a princess, she had built a hospital for the poor. She had built a friary for friars. And she built a monastery for the poor Clares attached to the hospital, which eventually she herself would enter. But remarkably, we have a correspondence that she had with St. Clare. She was taken very much with the friars preaching when they came to Prague And she wanted to have that same spirituality of St. Clare and the sisters. And for 20 years, she corresponded with St. Clare. And four of those letters that Clare wrote to Agnes survived. And they're just treasures. You can quite easily find them on the internet. And really treasures of spirituality and Clare's own deep love for the Lord. But the first one that she wrote that is a letter that she wrote before Agnes entered religious life. Clare, in fact, would send five sisters from San Damiano to enter the monastery there in Prague. So this is a letter that Clare, this, of course, made all the news. The princess is entering the monastery? Didn't Frederick want her hand in marriage? And so Clare writes to her, and here's what she writes. To the esteemed and most holy Virgin, the Lady Agnes, daughter of the most excellent and illustrious King of Bohemia. And she's speaking about all of the news that this has brought about, what her choice is. She said, I'm not alone in rejoicing at such great news, but I am joined by all who serve and seek and serve Jesus Christ. For though you, more than others, could have enjoyed the magnificence and honor and dignity of the world and could have been married to the illustrious Caesar, with splendor befitting you and His Excellency, you have rejected all these things and have chosen with your whole heart and soul a life of holy poverty. And thus you took a spouse of a more noble lineage, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have these beautiful letters, and there's a method of prayer of St. Clare that comes from her second letter, where she's speaking to Agnes in four different elements of our prayer life. I think it's very helpful to us. The one she says, gaze. So fix your attention on Him, not on these other things. You know, the King of Tyre, that he's being rebuked because he's saying, I am a god. With my trading, I have amassed all these riches. And so he's told, you're trading, you have heaped up your riches, your heart has grown haughty from your riches. You have thought yourself to have the mind of a god. But twice he is told, you are a man and not a god. And when he faces death, he's going to understand that truth. And so what Clare says to Agnes, gaze. Fix your attention not on these things of the world, which Francis and Clare understood, would choke off that seed, the lure of riches, the cares of this world will choke off that seed from growing and bearing fruit. Clare is telling her, fix your gaze there on Christ. And then she says, consider. So in your intellect, in your mind, consider, what does the incarnation mean? What does his suffering on the cross mean? It means his profound love. So reflect on that. Consider these things. Gaze on him. Keep your eyes fixed on him. Consider these things. What does the significance of this mean, the incarnation? And then she says, contemplate these things. Let your heart be involved. Respond to his love with your love. And then what's the fourth step of this? Imitate. Now you're going to do what Jesus did. For Francis and Clare, that was a supreme example. What did Jesus do? That's what I want to do. Though he was rich, he became poor for your sakes, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And the true riches, the riches of heaven. So it's a beautiful way to gaze, not let our gaze be fixed on other things, but on him. Consider these things. Meditate on his life, all that we learn from him, his example. Contemplate. Let your heart and your affections be moved to love him in return, who has loved you. Greatly to be loved is he who loved us so greatly, St. Francis said. And then seek to imitate him. So this is the way that we learn from these three beautiful souls, Francis, Claire, St. Agnes. And it's a fascinating thing, too, that it was on November 12, 1989, that Pope St. John Paul II canonized her. And thousands of people from, at that time, Czechoslovakia came for the canonization. And they had this sense that something was going to change for them. And it did. 40 years of communist rule ended. 5 days later was the beginning of that ending of communism. And so we have the Czech Republic or Czechia and Slovakia today. And they attributed it to St. Agnes so much so that the Catholic Church had a year of St. Agnes in 2011, the 800th anniversary of her birth. So we look to her today too. She who chose someone of greater nobility than the Holy Roman Emperor. That's a choice that we all make, to choose Christ, learning from Francis and Claire and Agnes of Prague. And I'm just going to conclude now with the last letter that we have of St. Claire's. It was written the last year of Claire's life. And she writes to her these beautiful words. Happy indeed is she to whom it is given to share this sacred banquet. So we can think of the banquet of heaven, but we can also think about the banquet today of the Eucharist. Agnes treasured the gift of the Eucharist. Claire writes, happy indeed is she to whom it is given to share this sacred banquet, to cling with all her heart to him whose beauty all the heavenly hosts admire unceasingly, whose love inflames our love, whose contemplation is our refreshment, whose graciousness is our joy, whose gentleness fills us to overflowing, whose remembrance brings a gentle light, whose fragrance will revive the dead, whose glorious vision will be the happiness of all the citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem.